Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kansas City, big winner over Baltimore yesterday, 37-20. Baltimore was a 2.5-point road favorite. That one does not get home. It didn't have any chance for the favorite. One of the most popular plays over at BetMGM. This is BetSweat's Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. Now joining us, got Jason LaConfora, one of my co-hosts on BetMGM Game Day, Sunday mornings right here on the BetMGM Network. He's an Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast. Want to bet? Listen to Want to Bet now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or watch it live daily on Jason's X account. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. JLC, you also do afternoons at Baltimore Radio. These are the easy ones. There's going to be a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming, a lot of complaining.
Yeah. Look, the underbelly of this team was in the trenches, and everybody, we had plenty of experts and analysts on our show through, you guys know, the NFL offseason's longer than the actual season. And boy, everybody's throwing flowers at Eric DaCosta, and everybody we talked to is telling me it's the best roster ever. And I'm like, well, who's the backup left tackle? And who's the backup three down D tackle if something happened to Matabike? And boy, it's a generational defensive draft. Right, D tackles, evaluators, scouts have been telling me 2 years ago about how great this D tackle draft was going to be. Size, speed, freaks. Ravens passed on all of them. Ravens just keep signing corners. You know, Ravens won all the safeties and all the corners. Well, now a lot of them are small and they've got to show up and run support because you can't stop the run at all because Matabike and Travis Jones are hurting and now corners are getting hurt making tackles. I thought it was a playoff defense probably if they stayed healthy. Certainly not a Super Bowl defense. And now even the playoffs might be a bridge too far for this group. They don't want to spend for pass rush. They haven't taken a D-tackle in the first round, I think, since Haloti Ngata. It's a long time ago. And I think those chickens are coming home to roost.
They're still -200 to win the division.
I mean, you're not getting any of my money on that.
Yeah,
And
they're -650. They're -650 to make the playoffs, Jason.
Look, this game against Houston is going to be tough. Houston's defense got embarrassed by these guys running the football a couple times. You know, last year the Ravens brought in jumbo personnel and ran it all over Houston. They don't even have jumbo personnel right now. When they try to bring in, you know, Patrick McCary went to Jacksonville for starters money, and they had to let him go. But that swing tackle, and he started for them a lot, but was huge. And when they bring Ben Cleveland and these guys in for jumbo stuff, it's a joke. They don't even know where to line up. You know, Pat Ricard, 300-pound all-pro fullback, is still out. Like, Houston's going to be tough. And then I got news for you. McVay's coming in here, and he might hang 40 on him. So, and then they go to the bye. So, and then they'll probably fire their defensive coordinator and hand it all to Pagano, because every single year they do that, whether they announce it or not. There's some kind of changing of the guard with defensive responsibilities. But I just don't think they have the horses. Like, I don't think Matabike is playing another snap for them. Van Noy's 36 years old, and he barely did anything this summer. And soft tissue with a 36-year-old, good luck. Roquan Smith is the most overpaid linebacker in the NFL. Like, they got problems even when they get healthier. So Pittsburgh knows how to win games. I mean, Pittsburgh, they just do their thing, right? So two might get in from the South. Like, if two get in from the South, I think three can get in from the West. So just start doing the math.
Mm-hmm. What did you like from Kansas City yesterday?
I mean, Xavier Worthy's return is obviously a big deal, and just getting the ball in his hands and having to it changes them horizontally and vertically, right? So that's a big deal. He broke off some big runs. You have to worry about him on end arounds and jet sweeps, little screens, bubbles, slip screens, all that stuff. And then obviously what he can do, Yak, and what he can do with pure speed. And, you know, the Ravens putting Marlon Humphrey on him in the first half was just chef's kiss. That was that matchup was going to work. You know, like when you have that going, all of a sudden those little pop passes to Kelce are a little bit more effective. They showed a little more intent running the ball. Frankly, I think they could have got under center and ran for 150, 175 if they wanted to. But, you know, Andy Reid didn't want to go that route. And defensively, Spags knows what he's doing. And do I think that when they face elite teams, Chris Jones might look his age, and not having a bookend for Karlaftis could be a problem? Sure. But they're not going to face that many teams that Spags can't scheme it up against. So, yeah, I mean, the kicker is a little iffy now. And that's a problem because I still don't totally buy their red zone offense. Now when Rice comes back, maybe they unlock that even a little bit more. But, you know, people writing them off, not so fast, man. Not so fast.
You always bring up Geno Smith and his splits. Home and
automatic. Home. Automatic picks at home, baby. Automatic.
Like, three more against a decimated secondary. Because, like, my thought was like, yes, the numbers are there, but the Bears are missing, like, half of their secondary, all their good players back there. And it ends up not mattering. That's why they end up losing the game, because of Geno Smith.
Yeah.
They outgained the Bears by a ton. It was a turnover battle. That was it. It's just, you fade him every time. So now he stays at a place indoors in Vegas. Like, the thought was, okay, they got something here. Maybe they're average at quarterback, and quarterback is still a problem for the Raiders.
Yeah, it is. Pete Carroll probably has too much faith in Geno. And now, you know, if the tackle's out long term, they're really screwed. You know, that they, I think Pete obviously wants to run the ball more and more efficiently than they have, and then they get the kid going yesterday. But they're still a little pass happy. They're still out of sorts. Geno does not look comfortable at all. I thought Pete would do a better job getting that defense just a little more fundamentally sound. No, that hasn't really been the case. They kind of just look like the Raiders, right? I mean, this is kind of, I've seen this version with Derek Carr many times before. Like, I know what this looks like. Like, I've been there, done that, and that division is really tough. So, yeah. And Pete Carroll's 70-something years old. So life comes at you fast in this league. And, I mean, are they going to lose enough games to get a quarterback next year? Or are you going to put a geriatric head coach with a rookie quarterback, you know what I mean? And what would look like a total rebuild? I don't know. Mark Davis, Tom Brady, got a lot of work to do. Tom's got a lot of jobs, though. So Tom's got a lot of jobs. So I don't know. I don't know.
At some point, they're going to just have Brady come in and play quarterback. Tom will just come down and play quarterback.
Maybe. He would not throw three picks at home.
No, he would not. I need to ask you about Green Bay. They look unstoppable for 2 weeks. Yeah. And we got Stephen A. Smith and Mad Dog. Oh, they're the best team in the NFL. Okay. Then they lose to Cleveland and give up 40 to Dallas. What are the Packers right now? Do we even know?
I don't know what the defense is. I mean, that's my thing. Like, offensively, their problem is they take their foot off the get. Like, I like a lot about LaFleur, but not going for that fourth and short. Like, I will never figure out why he doesn't have that assassin gene. Like, he's coming from the McVay family tree. And I know Sean plays with his food a little bit, but Sean also knows how to close out games. And I think he can smell blood and go for it. I don't get why you're bossing that team around and you don't just try to go up three scores with your offense and end that thing. And defensively, I don't know. Now Parsons with the back. Now it looks like they could use Kenny Clark. Were the first couple weeks just an adrenaline rush? I mean, this was a top five defense last year in yards allowed per play with the D coordinator in his freshman year in the NFL calling plays. My concerns are more there. Like, what's happened to the pass rush? Like, we know that they're not overloaded with elite cover corners. It's been two different defenses, right? The first couple of weeks. And the Browns don't even count because, like, that's not an NFL offense. So, I mean, you know, holding them to however many points, 13 or whatever, is I can't read a lot into that. But, yeah, that was an embarrassment last night. I mean, no C.D. Lamb. They were able to run it and throw it and do whatever they wanted to do to move that ball from really the second quarter on. I don't know what to make of them. I do know this. The fighting Dan Campbells are biting kneecaps again, so look out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no doubt about that. With Jason LaConfora, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. You've got Bet Sweats here on a Monday morning. How the hell do you explain all the blocked kicks and punts?
You're asking the wrong guy.
And special teams touchdowns?
Don't ask me, brother.
What is going on? I don't understand.
I'm getting housed by all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be some coaching. It's got to be I can't explain it. People way smarter than me are going to have to explain it. Like, I tend to think of Pittsburgh and Danny Smith as having the best special teams in the league. Like, I don't know. I'd have to really study it. Are more teams using starters? Yeah. Like, are more teams using their best players in key situations to try to be aggressive and go for blocks, whether it be a field goal, an extra point, or a punt? Like, I don't know, but it's crazy. It seems like more than just a blip now. Have they spent so much time focusing on the new rules that they've gotten away? You know, you only get limited windows in special teams. You know, it's the first 15 minutes of practice. Like, combination of rash of injuries, trying to figure out the new rules, not focusing on just the old school fundamentals. I don't know. I mean, I'm grasping at straws, but I'd like to be on the right side of one of them eventually.
You got two cracks tonight, New York, Miami, Cincy, Denver. Anything you like in either game?
Yeah, I think Bo Nix gets right here. This Cincinnati defense is a joke, and they've kind of waved the white flag to me a couple times this year already. So I think Nix throws at least two touchdowns. I think both these games go over. I kind of like taking the Denver game down to 37.5 and going over just because it might just get out of hand. It might be just one team doing almost all the scoring. And then in the other one, I think it probably plays up into the high 40s, but you can take them both down a little bit, go over and get plus money. You know, Fields with a concussion, like I want to lean into some Fields props, but you just don't know how that's going to play out. And if he will run as much as we expect him to run, will he be finishing drives inside the goal line like we saw him, you know, before he suffered what is basically a brain bruise. But I do like the over in both. And I've even sprinkled a little bit on Knicks to throw three or more. Like, I think Sean Payton wants to get this kid back on track, and he's routinely thrown for two or more touchdowns at home.
I don't recall ever seeing so many complaints about a 4-0 football team like we're seeing with the Philadelphia Eagles right now. But I mean, I guess it's warranted. 200 total yards yesterday. They do that again. They somehow beat a perfect 3-0 Bucks team, and Baker fights back. So this time it was reversed. It was the Eagles jump out to the big lead, and then they give up said big lead in the second half. How do you explain the Eagles? Are we going to see a slide pretty soon with this team?
I mean, I don't know. We got a 20-plus game sample size regular season and playoffs that say they just keep winning it. To me, it's like we were talking about the Chiefs this way about a year ago. And, I'm inclined to ride it until it stops. Now, I'm not always going to take them to cover, but, I mean, as a money leg, you know, parlay leg, Eagles money line, Hurts anytime score. The Hurts anytime score didn't come through yesterday, but it obviously came close, right? Some bang bang plays near the goal line. I just think they're into winning football games, and they don't really care how they do it. And some weeks it'll be the interior of the D-line that wins it for them. Some weeks Barkley will go off enough to let them control the ball enough to do it. Some weeks it might be special teams. Some weeks they might be behind, and all of a sudden Hurts is airing it out to AJ. No, remember, we can still do this. I don't know what it's going to be every week other than when they're inside goal-to-go situations, the quarterback usually gets a crack to score the ball. Yeah. And they just win football games, and they seem to be fine with winning ugly, which is important because not every team is, and that can dig some teams apart, but this has kind of been their formula for a while.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Jason, the host of the Odyssey original podcast, Wanna Bet. Remember to listen to Wanna Bet on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or watch it live daily on Jason's X account. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Also check out BetMGM Game Day Sunday mornings, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Myself, Jason, and Kate Constable. Yeah, we'll dive a little bit more into what is going on with the Philadelphia Eagles, but they sit here 4-0 on the season. Monday morning market moves on the other side. College football moves, and then we'll talk about what is happening already in week number 5 of the National Football League. You've got Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday morning market moves. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic with you.
What is that?
Please don't show that. I don't know.
What is going on today?
Telemundo is on my screen. Right in front of me. It is on my screen. It is not the Telemundo that I grew up with. I'll just say that. I don't know what's happening on this show. I don't need the audio, though, because I wouldn't know what they're saying anyways. All right, Monday morning market moves. College football side of things. Hey, Sam, it's a Monday. So you know what we have? We have a new favorite for the Heisman because it changes every week. Like we should go back and look week one, week two, week three, who the favorites were.
I have them top of head. I can do it. You can't do it?
Oh, you do. Okay. Let's do it. I mean, I know how it's. So last week was
Mendoza.
Mendoza. A week before that,
it's Mateer. Before that, Beck.
Beck. And Arch. And then we're at the start of the season with Arch.
Yep.
Wow. Who's a favorite now?
I didn't even look. I'm going to guess it's Dante Moore. It should be.
Correct. It is Dante Moore. Yep. And that makes sense. What about the second favorite?
We talked about this on Friday.
Mm-hmm. The other team. The quarterback of the other team that won a big game on Saturday night, Ty Simpson.
Yep.
Yep. You talked about this as well. I know you talked about it with the morning show because they brought it up about Ty Simpson. Like, yes, if you think something's going to happen, like you've got to think about all the ramifications. And Ty Simpson was part of that. If Alabama was going to beat Georgia, he was going to have a big game. And he's the quarterback of Alabama. And that would shock people. Both dogs end up winning. I thought it was going to be one dog, one favorite in those big matchups Saturday night. Both dogs end up winning outright on the road. Amazing. Even though college football home field is so much more than the NFL, it happens. And those are the two names at the very top, the winners of those games.
So we have some really interesting line movement in a couple of these games for next Saturday. And one of them is Alabama-Vanderbilt. And, of course, Vanderbilt has had a very easy schedule so far, some would say. Alabama, though, at Circa, opened 12. They put this up at 1 o'clock, like, give or take, in the afternoon. And now we see 10s and a 9.5. They are taking the points with Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt. I don't know that I agree with that move. I also think there will be a corresponding move the other way if it continues to come down, because Bama looked really, really good in that first half, at least. I mean, Ty Simpson had 3 touchdowns in the first half. But when a number opens 12, goes through the 10, and now we're sitting here 10, 9.5, probably on the way to 9, how low does it go? And at what point are you interested in laying it back with Alabama, if you are?
Yeah, that's going to be one to watch for sure. I got another one that is already on the move. They're betting Notre Dame. Got a coach fired over the weekend. Pittman is out. Look, hand up, I did not see that coming. Like, Notre Dame, they're an over team. We've gone over that a bunch. They have 2 losses, but they were against very good teams. Arguably, I don't know if they are right now, probably top 10 teams. And it came down to one possession, or you could say one key play, one key call in both of those. They start 0-2 on the year, and they smash Arkansas on the road 56-13. The Sharps were betting Arkansas. I was looking at Arkansas on this side. Goes from 6 down to 4.5. As we were getting closer to the game, though, it was creeping back up, Sam. It was in that 5, 5.5 range. That was the closing number. But Notre Dame destroys. The run game was phenomenal. It was like they weren't facing an SEC team. It was impressive, man. And so what they're doing now is they're coming in and they're backing Notre Dame. It opens 18. It is now 19.5. They host Boise next.
Jeremiah Love looked pretty good in that game, too, for Notre Dame. I don't remember a team.
What a Carr. He doesn't get credit.
Carr's awesome. I saw a couple people that I respect saying that he's the best prospect in college, the best quarterback prospect. Now, that's an open-ended conversation because are we talking about, you know, this coming draft, which obviously he's not eligible for? Are we talking about the entire enchilada, the whole slate of college football teams and quarterbacks? And there are a couple people that think he's the best quarterback of them all in the country. We'll see. We always want to do that as well. We want to just anoint them as the best after 4 games or whatever. But I don't remember, when's the last time a team changed its identity so much in such a small pocket of time? This was a run the ball down your throat, play unbelievable defense team in January. Right? Couldn't throw. Now all they do is throw. And the defense is a question mark. Like, it's been such a role reversal, and I don't remember such a drastic shift without changing the head coach. Right? The philosophy didn't change for Marcus Freeman. He just realized, oh, I have a really good quarterback and we're going to throw the ball a ton. But they also have not been able to replace a lot of those guys they lost to the NFL. But, I mean, think about it. They went from power football to just spread it out and score 40 points a game.
Yep. Yeah, man. It's all about the quarterback. There's no doubt about it. And it was interesting. Like, some people wanted them to go in the portal and get somebody else. Like, no, we're good. We're good. Yeah, he's been impressive, just as impressive as that run game. Notre Dame to make the playoff plus 140.
If they go 10-2, they're in. They have to be.
I think they very well could go 10-2. It would have to be a big blunder for them to miss the playoffs. Looking at the schedule, go in the rest of the way. What'd you think about Illinois-USC? Illinois, no show against Indiana. Embarrassed. Yeah. They had the field goal at the very end. They end up winning.
I thought they did everything they were supposed to do, obviously. I was laughing, though. Bielema was playing for the field goal at the end. Like, he did not want to score a touchdown, give them the ball back.
Nope.
And they did not. And then Gus is like, here's the kid from Naperville, the kicker. He's like, a career-defining moment. Nice call. Good kick. Bielema gets the win. This is the role that Illinois has been good at, though, with Bielema. and this is where Bielema thrived at Wisconsin when he was a dog. But now we have another changing of roles for Illinois heading forward. You win against USC. Big noon kickoff is there. The place is still not packed. The stadium, like the student section, was like 70% full on big noon kickoff, which is a little strange. Wow. But now they go on the road, and guess what? They're laying points again. And the market is betting on Purdue. This number opened 10 in Vegas. How about 8.5 at BetMGM, 7.5 at Chris? They are taking the points with Purdue early in the week.
I care because I bet it. I don't agree with the move, Maeva, going from 16 to 35 for Heisman. Like, his offense scored 32 points on the road. I don't think he should get dinged for that game. Do you?
No. I thought he was just fine.
Yeah.
The reality is, Illinois kept, like, fumbling at the goal line. I thought I was watching a Patriots game all over again.
Yeah.
They fumbled. Right. Was it twice, Jake, going in Illinois? Like, they're on the goal line, and they just kept. USC's forced like 5 red zone turnovers this year, which is insane. It's almost impossible to do that in a very short window of time. But I thought the quarterback was fine for USC. This is what you have to do, though. You have to kind of, if you're booking that market, you got to float guys out after losses and cut them down after wins. That's how
it is.
True.
Yep. If you still believe, it'd be a time to buy. What about Indiana? Did they win this weekend?
How about that play at the very end of the game? I did catch that one late night. Saw the highlight, at least. So they're up 7, and they have the ball basically at midfield with 5 seconds left, give or take. And Mendoza takes the ball and runs backwards. Sprints backwards, you would say. And the clock goes to 0, and you're thinking, no, just slide, go down. No, he runs into the end zone, safety. Indiana covers. Not. That was crazy. So Iowa gets a safety for the cover to lose by 5, catching 7, 7.5, whatever. That was a wild finish. And then the quarterback comes out and says, I know I may have messed with the point spread there. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep, exactly. There was a lot of that going on over the weekend. Fun stuff there. Okay, so this week, the biggest point spread by a country mile is Oklahoma with the backup quarterback because they're playing probably the worst team in the nation. It's 45.5 against Kent State. Oklahoma laying 45.5. The total is 53.5. You're basically asking, Kent State, can you score one touchdown against this defense? I don't think they can. We'll see. But I'm always interested in that when you've got a point spread that is almost the same as the total.
I did this against Kent State this year already. I laid 48, and it landed 48. And a lot of people that listen to our show laid 48.5, which I was very sick about. Texas Tech scored 62 points and didn't cover 48.5.
Mm-hmm.
62-14 the final. Here's where I'm at, though. If Texas Tech was laying 48, why is Oklahoma only laying 45.5? Oklahoma's better.
Because of Mateer? I don't know.
Oklahoma's still better than Texas Tech, though.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. I mean, when you think about the two numbers
too.
Like that,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. This could easily be 51-0. Like, would not be surprised at all. Always funny, though, when you see a total 53.5 and a spread 45.5. But you get what I'm saying. If Texas Tech was laying 48 and I have Oklahoma better, I would probably, wink, wink, lean to Oklahoma in the game. If I was willing to lay 48 and I think Oklahoma's better, come on.
I know you always hear this after a surgery, but everything out of Oklahoma, a successful surgery for John Mateer. He tweets, thank God for a successful procedure. Dr. Shin is the GOAT. Boomer Sooner. And Matt Zenitz from CBS Sports tweets, a John Mateer update. The feeling is the surgery performed by Dr. Stephen Shin went very well. It's too early to tell how realistic this is, but there seems to be at least an outside chance Mateer could come back as early as the Oklahoma's game against Texas on October 11th.
Like, oh, yeah? I said from the beginning. You buying it?
I'm the one that said right away that I think he might play that game. When it
you
went
did
to 100.
Say that.
Yeah,
you
I did say
that
right away. So we'll see. Kent State off this weekend, Kent State next weekend, and then it's Texas, Oklahoma. If he's out there, dude, that's the narrative they love. If he's out
100%.
There and they win, oh, man, he's going to – we're going to have another change in the Heisman.
So they are betting – you bring up Oklahoma, Texas. They are betting against Texas. Stop me if you've heard this before this season. They don't like Arch. They don't like Texas. Also, ironically enough, they're betting on Florida again. So Texas goes to the swamp to take on Florida. Florida has gotten wise guy money multiple times this year. We'll see. It happened again. Texas opened -7. The sevens are gone everywhere. I don't see a single seven on the board. They took the points with the Gators. It's early. We got a while to go until kickoff on Saturday, but another early move against Arch, against the Horns, and compounded by the fact that the wise guys keep betting Florida. I don't know what you get offensively, but sharp guys clearly like Florida's defense catching points.
Ooh, okay, what is your first thought? Saturday night, Miami off a bye, Florida State off a bad loss. We've got the Canes laying 4.5 on the road, total, let's call it 54. There is a 5.5 out there, but mostly 4.5. It's come down.
As much as I love Miami this year, I lean to the dog. I do, especially off the loss. Yep. I do.
At home, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. What do you think it is about Florida? Like, yeah, you mentioned it. It's a repeat story. Every week, no matter what the number is, they're backing Florida. Is it that home field? It seems like most of the time that's when they're backing them.
Yeah, it's just their defense, I think. And their defense is fine. Problem is you need to score. You need something. And their production on offense has been horrible. Horrible.
Monday morning, market moves continues on the NFL side. We'll take a look at week 5 in the National Football League. Joe O, Sammy P, Bet Sweats, weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Sammy P with you. Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. Monday morning market moves continues in just a moment. We'll hit the NFL side of things, week 5. And right before we came back from the break, a little behind the curtain, Sam says, I'd like to talk about what Cam Newton is wearing right now. Hold on. What channel is he on? Because I'm watching Telemundo. I turn on ESPN. I see what I think is another tryout for Molly Karam's old gig. This is a crazy panel. Like, what producer put this panel together? Like, there is no balance at all. Like, it's just got to be out of this world. Stephen A., Cam Newton, Michael Irvin, and the female host. I don't know who it is just by seeing her. This is wild. No?
I don't have the sound on. It just looks like Cam Newton is the guy who takes your tickets to get on the the hot air balloon and fly away. Like,
yeah,
I don't
Willy
know.
Wonka.
It is such an outfit, and then he's got the collar popped straight up, and so he's like, you know, most people you put a tie on, and then you pull the collar down over the tie. That's how it looks. He's got the tie on. but then the collar is just straight up vertically. So it's just, it's a wild look. Oh, Ryan Clark's there. Perfect.
Yeah, I know. Like, let's make this more insane. Let's bring Ryan Clark out to say some of the stupidest stuff we've ever heard. Michael Irvin is just, and the craziest is Michael Irvin. And we're not even talking about him that much. He's got a wild look going on himself, don't you think?
Yes, for sure. But the Cam Newton hot air balloon outfit is wild. I don't know if you could tell. Apparently my ring light just decided to get hotter. I don't know, like, we went to, like, the Casper the Friendly Ghost setting because I'm just, like, white right now. I'm gonna fix that one. Is there a button?
You are white. Just right now.
Yeah, I'm very white. There we go. Perfect.
Oh, wait. Much better. No, then it went dark again. It was better whatever you had just before. It doesn't matter. Now you're blue.
It matters. Now I'm blue. I'm blue. Da-ba-dee.
Oh, there you go. Right. There you go. That's good. All right.
Thank you.
You've thought out the parlay. Now boost it. Use the boost token on any pro football same game parlay and grab a bigger payout if you win. All right. We'll go over the Monday morning market moves in the NFL. Week number 5. We've got 2 more games before week 4 is a wrap. But, hey, these numbers are out, so they're already on the move. We can take a quick look at what we're seeing thus far. As far as the schedule goes, back to normal a little bit, it will be one Monday night game next week with Kansas City and Jacksonville. San Francisco, LA Rams is your Thursday game, and we have an early game again. This time they're going to be in London. So Minnesota stays out. They are going to face the Cleveland Browns. That happens Sunday morning. And also, Sam, what also changes in week 5, your byes begin. The Bears, Falcons, Packers, and Steelers are all off next week, so we don't have as many games to cover.
Biggest mover so far that I see on the board as we talk about some moves here, they're betting Seattle against Tampa. And I think you brought up this point last week, and we saw them put it out on social during the weekend about how the Bucs were 3-0, but maybe could have been 0-3. You saw wise guys lay the 3 with Philly early, get that to 3.5 for yesterday's game. So a bet against the Bucs in week 4 and a bet so far or series of bets against Tampa in week 5. Seattle opens -1.5. Now we're at 3, basically everywhere. One book has 2.5, but they're betting against Tampa, and that does not really surprise me given what happened the way it was bet last week.
Biggest adjustment is Houston-Baltimore. Baltimore loses. They are 1-3. So I think this was on the look ahead. It was Ravens laying 9.5. Houston wins, and they win comfortably in the end against Tennessee, but that's not why this is the big move in favor of Houston. This is just an anti-Ravens play. The Ravens right now, they are laying 6.5 over at BetMGM. Ravens come back home, 1-3 on the season. Total is 43 in the hook. So low total, high spread, and you have the bad defenses favored in this game over the good defense.
I think we should talk about Baltimore in totality. Clearly, there's going to be an appetite to bet against Baltimore week to week, at least, until they figure this out. If they do, I assume that they will. -200 to make the playoffs. 2 weeks ago, this show was saying bet Kansas City -190 to make the playoffs and hook it with other things, right?
Yep.
Do you have that conversation about Baltimore? Now, I don't want to lay that big old price to make the playoffs. You said what, -600 or something like that?
That's what it was. Yeah, last night it was -650. You know what made me look it up? Because, you know, a lot of people like to pretend they're in the gambling space, and I saw some of that. And Ravens are 1-3. Can't believe it. And then I saw someone who doesn't really do gambling, but they did a screenshot of the Ravens schedule the rest of the year. And they pointed out like all the wins that are there. It's like, bet, this is when you bet on the Ravens to make the playoffs right here. And so I looked it up. -650. No, this is not when you bet on the Ravens to make the playoffs right here. They're -650. Okay. You're not fooling the betting market. You didn't get one over on the sports books. Oh yeah, I'm going to buy low. I'm going to buy low on the Ravens. There's no buying low. It's minus 650. It made me think, Sam, do we need to consider betting on the Ravens to miss? Do we at a good plus price?
Here's where I'm at there. I don't want anybody to bet them to make the playoffs, but I look at the division market. BetMGM has minus 200. They have three losses, but none of them are against the division. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're still a prohibitive favorite to win the AFC North. A one-point loss to Baltimore, to Buffalo, excuse me, an eight-point loss to Detroit, and then you get pounded by Kansas City, 37-20. But you're 1-0 in the division. You know, so there's still five more games you have against teams that, you know, either aren't good or I'm not sure if they're good. I'm talking Cleveland, Cincinnati, and I still don't know what Pittsburgh is at this point. Like, I don't really like Pittsburgh that much, but they just keep winning.
No.
And Tomlin continues to get more money in the market for coach of the year, same as it ever was, right? All they do is find ways to win. But at minus 200, I'm intrigued. And if I want to build a parlay with Ravens to win the North and X or Y or Z, this would be your entry point on that market. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, bet minus 600 to make the playoffs, because you don't need me for that. Right? You can do that yourself.
Right.
But to win the division, I still think that's a decent bet. I still think they do.
Yeah, I'm not scared of anybody in that division. Everybody in the division has a negative point differential. Everybody. So, yeah, I'm not scared of Pittsburgh. I understand why they're a heavy favorite. I understand, and I wouldn't go against that. Not right now, but it doesn't mean I have to bet them next week, laying 6.5, right? We don't have to do that against Houston. I will say I watched that entire Texans game because I had my most amount of entries in Survivor on Houston. I still don't trust that Houston offense. I know the score says 26-0. They didn't get into the red zone, I think, until the fourth quarter of that game. And this is against the Tennessee Titans. So if you're depending on them scoring a bunch, like, I don't know. But we're in this situation, we are getting 6.5. They may have found a running back, though. They ended up leaning more on Woody Marks. He got 17 carries for 69 rushing yards. He was using tandem with Chubb, but Marks got more run than Chubb. That was one of my takeaways. Here's the other thing with the Texans. What's the total on this game? You have that up on this page?
Houston, 43.5.
Yep. Houston's 4-0 to the under this year. I think they're the only 4-0 under team. Yeah. Yeah, so people are going to bet that. They are also betting Arizona, tied into this result from yesterday. Tennessee's so bad. They're clearly the worst team in the NFL. It goes from the 8 range up to 9.5. So the question is, will Arizona be a double-digit favorite?
Probably. The way it's moving already on Monday, that build-on, that pile, probably continues to grow. I have some stats for you from Todd Furman. These are Titans ATS numbers. He put this out the other day before the game, so I'm going to add one to the loss column because they didn't cover again. Last 17 games, Tennessee Titans 2-15 ATS. 3-18 in their last 21. 6-24-1 in their last 31. 7-26-1 in their last 34. And I will still look at that number and think, oh, it's a big number. They're so bad, man. So bad.
Mm-hmm. Arizona Survivor?
Probably. Think?
If you haven't used
I'm stupid enough to take 10. I'll take 10, and then they'll lose 21-3. I hate myself sometimes, especially with these ugly NFL sides.
Cam Ward does not look good.
No. There's not much there, though. I mean, the coaching's bad. Yeah. There aren't not a lot of weapons.
Yep.
O-line's injured. You know, it's not good. It's not good for sure. We hinted at this earlier. Let's talk about it now on market moves. Buffalo, the look-ahead number was 10.5. They struggle with the Saints. The Patriots look awesome. Westgate reopens the game 9.5. Now we're at 8.5, including the sports book known as BetMGM, 8.5.
I see some 7.5s out there. That's quite the overreaction.
I'm going to lay that one. That'll be a Buffalo bet.
Lock it in. Come on. It's not getting to 7.
I don't think so. But when we do this segment on Friday and ask where the room is, Patriots dog. That's a lot of points. They're going to bet the Patriots for sure.
Please, you know it. Give me that.
You know
it. Give me all of that, and I'll be all in on Buffalo. Kansas City's a road favorite. They are laying 3 at Jacksonville. That's your game next Monday. A decent card. Decent card of games here. There's some that I like already. I think I'm going to like more bets than I did this past week, and it was a good weekend for us in the National Football League. Another hour to go. Where's the room on Monday Night Football? We've got 2 games, and Monday Moons is next. BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.